Hi, I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. When we walk in the dark, an essay on suffering. Suffering is like traveling at night, dangerous and unseen the path is. We ask why, don't we? Maybe some of the questions are the wrong questions. That is, the ones that won't get us anywhere. But at first, there's nothing wrong with that. Feeling pain is human, not feeling pain is inorganic. Didn't the psalmist rail and weep? And cry out to God. Like hell he did. In hell he did. He raged and cursed and spat and wailed. The ancients shook their fists at multiple gods who thundered inexplicably or caused ruin. Anguish, the psalmist beat his fist on the bosom of God. He pointed his fire at God and cursed his enemies. He cried out for relief and help and mercy. So did a royal descendant of the psalmist, and he hung abandoned on a Roman cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? After we've lost our voice through screaming, once we've dehydrated from shed tears, we're left dry, aren't we? A desert waiting for rain. And like it or not, our why questions, like Job's, stay unsatisfied. Job is every man. Job is every broken heart. What then? Maybe it's time for new questions. Why questions appeal to find a reason, a cause, an argument. But when reason fails and circumstances defy sense, logic, and reason itself, we're left empty and wanting. We either move to acceptance or bitterness, to progress through darkness, or to curse and hate. Forgive God? Is he to blame? Does his sovereignty dictate his culpability? He escapes neat boxes we've built to understand him, or her, or they. What's with you, God? Is this willing ignorance? Is this malice, disregard from a God who gives and takes away? Scripture backs that up, we say. But isn't Scripture a record of God's people in horrid and sublime times? Most of the time they get it wrong, and that goes without saying. Is God helpless in a world filled with pain and sin? Bad things happen to good people. Maybe because he wound up the clock and has to shrug when free will and circumstance makes it go all wrong? After a long while of considering the possibilities, I don't give a damn anymore. I'm not sure I want to love a God of this sort. I come to a dead end, in every sense, a dead end. Or maybe I've been thinking about it backwards. Why have you forsaken me? This is the cry of every man or woman in the throes of suffering. This is the record of pain and fire unquenched. But then what? Then we commend our spirit. Then we die to the wanting to know. Maybe even we die of it. And the challenge for me and for anyone here is to stay with others in their mortal suffering, to comfort and mourn with those who mourn, because from a deep well of empathy, we understand. Understanding doesn't cure the sickness and fix the problems, but it gives strength to endure. We must bear up under suffering best when we stop feeling it alone. The strength to endure is usually the best we can do. To look for reasons in what is unreasonable is itself unreasonable. There is an aching mystery outside our purview that points to either the wholesale absurdity of life and pain or to something that lays past our horizon of knowing. To give happy little answers to those in pain mocks the pain itself by supposing that it is small and inconsequential, that is to say, the opposite of how we experience it. We can't be that wrong. But when dreams die, when people pass away, when children are tortured, women raped, and the whole host of sin and terror and agony visit us, Words and reasons never suffice. They don't offer hope. The pat answers, like a there pat on the head, give us very little. They cheat us by adding to our disgrace. What must I do to be saved? This is the cry of every soul. Believe in Jesus was the answer in the New Testament, but in the sense of suffering, there is a way and a door. How did Jesus conquer pain, death, and suffering, I ask? He simply went through it and came out the other side. The human story is a resurrection story, a rebirth story. The soul, like the seasons, pass from death to life, spiritually, physically, emotionally. It's very simple, but it's not simply an escape to heaven. It's simple in concept, but when the cup doesn't pass from you, it never means it's easy. We suffer until death. We don't get out alive. Not in the same way. I've had the thought that it's God's job to save me from pain or remove circumstances I hate. I've hated him for it sometimes when it seemed he failed me. Then, the night comes, we walk in the dark. All is obscured, even God. His ways seem lost in a thick mist, and just the light for the next step is there. And sometimes there's not even enough for that. We sit in the dark, we feel utterly alone. Can God be trusted? That is the question under the first question. Some of us think no. The ones who come to think yes wonder if maybe the whole picture isn't present. Maybe knowing in a way that is satisfying is impossible. Can a God who gives us sunsets and babies and waterfalls and exotic songbirds enjoy visiting us with terror and pain? Is God a good father? Or a capricious drunk knocking over our lives like a stumbling miscreant? Strangely, it's when we go to others who are also hurting that we find comfort. There, instead of getting answers, we find solace, which is a kind of answer to our prayers. The light comes to us, just enough to let us not despair. Peace, be still. Do not be afraid, so that it may be well with your soul. Theology is a study of God. We all have a working theology, an idea of who we think God is. The boundaries of our understanding move like tides. They start eroding what we know, knew, or thought we knew. In that, God falls outside our understanding. God defies our powers of reason or transcends them. Can we know God at all? By reflection, maybe. So it is that we realize our theology isn't the actual study of God, except in part, but instead a study of ways that we understand God, which those who talk about God call epistemology. Our perceptions splinter across the schools of thought, doctrine, and the force of our circumstances, of course. And to what end? But in the end, that matters most to the core part of us, who we think God is the path out of darkness, right through the very middle of our pain. Some find hope in the Lord. Others find misery and ineffable quandary. Still others find bitterness and a lasting grudge in one they hope does not exist. Bones turn brittle with it, says the Psalms, but hope enlivens the soul. I cry out, where can this hope be found? Do you wear it like a coat? Do you feed it like a goat? Do you eat it like bread? Do you know it when you're dead? Do you swim in it like a pool of spring water? Do you walk in it like a path of slaughter? Do you drink from it to replace your tears? Do you ask a horde of seers? Do you embrace it like a long-lost friend? Do you kiss it to betray the end? You do whatever you must. You put your right foot in front of your left foot. Then again, you pick up your left foot and place it in front of your right one. Then you do that again, and then again. The breeze from the movement dries your face. If it ends in goodness, there is no one right way to find healing and carry on. You can scream into the sky, I'm still here. I've tried that, it seems to help. You can smile to know that you haven't been beaten. Not yet, not completely. You can rest your hand on another shoulder, someone whose tears have just started and stay by their side. Just be. Your presence is the most powerful thing. They call the bread and wine of Jesus the real presence. See how it's the food of the gods? God does not have a body. God inhabits our bodies with goodness, with love, with awareness to see God in others and make a home with them too. In the end, it's all a homecoming. This essay for your own reflection, or even better yet, to discuss with someone else, I invite you to come to the sparkmymuse.com website and download a copy.